Blog Talk Radio.
Let me feel a soul in it. How many spiritual people in the room tonight? I can't hear y'all. How many spiritual people in the room tonight?
You're not a natural being.
Come on, talk to them. Say it.
Having a spiritual experience.
But you're,
a spiritual being.
Yeah, yeah.
Living this natural experience.
Any witnesses out
there? You're not a natural being.
Go ahead.
Having a spiritual experience. But you're a spiritual being.
Having what?
Living this natural experience.
Good to part every day.
Every day. Oh.
Let me be spiritual. That's the way you want to be. You want to always be spiritual, no matter what's going on. You want to remain spiritual. I know right now a lot of people are getting ready for the 4th of July, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you can be spiritual even with that, for the simple fact that we know where our independence lies. And with that being said, that's one of the things I'm going to sort of touch on today, identifying with Christ. That is like really, truly important that we do that. And don't forget that it was through Christ. But before we begin, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father God, I come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come, Father God, praising you for your word, because it's in your word that we learn who we are and whose we are. It is in your word, Father God, that it has been decreed and declared that through you we can do all things. It is in your word, Father God, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So we thank you, Father God, for your word. Because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn from the phone workers. Praise God. Let's see here. Praise God. And I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for all you're doing for this broadcast, for the people that are listening. To those, Father God, that are being rooted and grounded in your word and becoming more like you on a day-to-day basis, that's what we're striving for, pulling away, Heavenly Father, but we're getting closer to you. In spite of what the enemy says and do, we're yet getting closer, because these things do not define us. What we did last night, yesterday, that does not define who we are in you. So we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, for Pastor Bill, also Sister William. They're on the road doing some things. But I thank you, Father God, that we're going to just go forward. You just lead me what to say and how to say it. I want to give you the glory and the praise right now. But we continue to pray for those two. Those are our readers, and we just ask you to put a hedge of protection around them as they do what they need to do at this particular time. And I thank you for it. These and all blessings we ask in Christ's name and for his sake, we do pray. And everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, like I said, I know it's independent. Lord, drop some things in my spirit. It's very important that we recognize what's going on in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and verses 6. So let's go there. I'm going to go to Ephesians. I'm going to take my time today. Don't have a reader, really. So let's go to Ephesians, and we're going to go to 2 and verses 4 through 6. Stay with me here. Come on, computer. The devil is a lie. Okay, we ain't trying to do that one. Hallelujah. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, or through 6, it reads like this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, let me begin by saying you have to agree or disagree with this scripture. There is no 50-50, 60-40, 80-20, 90-10. You're either going to agree or you're going to disagree with this particular scripture. It says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So when we talk about identifying, we're talking about identifying with Christ now, man. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about identifying with him. So that's one of the things I wanted to kind of hit on. Because, for example, some people wonder what happened from the time Jesus was on the cross to he went and sat down on the throne. More importantly, have you even fully comprehend that yet? What he did for you personally in the span of that little time, his action forever defined you so you can identify with him and every believer. That's what he was doing. From the cross to the resurrection, he was fixing it so that we can identify with him. Many people are still wrestling with that question today. But listen, brother and sister, in Galatians 2 and 20, it tells us, I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. And in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's where my independence comes. That's where yours came from. I thank God for the people who, you know, served in the wars and fought for us. But let me tell you what, God had a lot to do with you being free. Trust and believe. He has a lot to do with America being free. Trust and believe. A nation that hides her sin will be revealed. That's what the scripture says. So, but in Galatians 2 and 20, it tells us that you was crucified. So if you was crucified, then you was raised with him too. Remember, Jesus died on our behalf. But this verse shows us that when we made Jesus our Lord, we partook of what he did for us. So when he was crucified, spiritually not speaking, we were crucified with him. That's why I played that song, Let Be Spiritual. See, we died with him. We were buried and made alive with him. He was raised up together with him. And we were seated in heavenly places together with him. But you got to see yourself there. And I'm going to show you in a little bit. Jesus saw himself in the scripture, and we have to see ourselves there. And you know what? You're going to do that. You're going to be able to see that. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, a lot of love. He don't have a little bitty love. He got great love. Great love. Which he loved us with, even when he were dead in our sin, he made us alive together with Christ. Think about it. How did he do it? By grace. you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you have to accept that. You have to accept the fact that 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 give you that assurance. And it assures us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Stop trying to bring your sinful things you did in the past to the present. They pass. That's why they call them past. Hello? That's why they call it past, because it's past. It's not present. God doesn't hold your past against you. So neither should you be trying to hold it. Become a new creature in Christ. To illustrate the reality of this, the best I can tell you is let the word has first place. So if you could some kind of way imagine what happened spiritually when you met Jesus, the Lord of your life, are you being transformed to being a new creature in Christ? You know, they make these toys. Let me take a time. They make these toys where it can be a car, but once it transforms, it can be a fighting machine. It transforms. Listen, brother and sister, it don't stay the same. You don't stay the same when you let that word get in you. So the Bible says that we're new creatures in Christ. And think about who you're like now. You're new creatures in Christ. You're becoming like Jesus himself all over again. Because you're being transformed. You're no longer that weak, fearful. That's not who you are anymore. You have the strength of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That's where you got strength from. But this is what happened to most people. When they say, we have Jesus' blood flowing through our veins, spiritually, we do it part of our identity in Christ. Something we find in God's word. And because you see it, don't mean it's yours. You have to make it become yours. So imagine finding your identity in the word of God and never wrestling with you who are in God or who are going through this process. I want to say it's a process, but anyway, you never have to wrestle with God about this stuff. All you got to do is start confessing what the word say you are and stop listening to the enemy. He wants you to always say defeated. He going to always put words in your mouth, in your head for you to speak it, because he can't speak it. It's only you, it's up to you to speak it. He can entertain your intellect. He can entertain your conscience, but you have to speak it. You're going to have to decree and declare, and let the word of God be what you identify with and not this other stuff. Well, you know, I'm so weak. Where is that at? The Bible said, let the weak say they're strong. Your words need to be wholesome. Your words need to be as though Christ would say. Look at it like this, brothers and sisters. Don't say anything going forward. Don't say anything. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that Christ wouldn't say. If you would think about it. See, if you can get your conscience to become aware of your surrounding, let your conscience become aware of who you are, that you're identifying. Imagine the peace you would have with a lot of things. But then some people have gotten become so used to that, they don't realize you've taken off the old man and you put on the new man. Go to the Word of God for your final authority. I'm not asking you to do me. I'm telling you to identify with him. In fact, one of the best ways to discover and study our identity in Christ is to read through Paul's letters to the Romans, to the church at Corinth, to Galatians, to Ephesians, and to Colossians. And every time you see two of these words or phrases, such as in Christ, in him, in whom, in the beloved, highlight that, circle it, mark it on that Bible. It's okay. Get another Bible. It's no problem. Oh, you can't mark on the Word of God. Yeah, you need to mark on that because you want to identify in him, in Christ, in whom, in the beloved. That's who you want to identify with. See, this is where you're getting eternally ready. So if you left here today, what would be your passport? What would be to show that you're okay to come in? What would how would you identify you good, you okay? You know, it used to be, I know all of us had some lives, different kind of lives, and we lived different kind of lives. But there was a time you would go to a club, you'd have to identify with the club, with the people in there. You know what they would do? There would be a mark. There would have to be a mark there. And then on that mark, what they would do would be to, and you go back in and go in and out, but they had to identify. So you're going to have to identify with Christ. When you leave here, I don't know if anybody told you this lately, but let me be the one among them that will tell you the truth. When you leave here, if it's tomorrow, if it's 10 years from now, you will have to identify with the Lord. So you're going to have to identify that you've been crucified. When Christ was risen, you was risen. So go ahead on and highlight these phrases when you see them, these phrases. Excuse me. Identify with them when you see them, okay? I need some water. Y'all give me a second, okay? Be in the spirit no matter what. Y'all excuse me for that. I had to give me some water. I ain't ashamed to tell y'all I ate a piece of bacon and it got caught up there. But anyway, praise God. So go ahead on and highlight those things that you find in your studying of the Word of God. What you see in him, in Christ, in whom, in the beloved. Actually, it describes who you are about 130 times. And 35 of them are the most significant. And they describe what God has already done in you when he raised you in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ now. You're not in the church. You're in Christ. You are the church. See? A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm in the church and that. Man, get away from that. If you're in the church, you're in Christ. So if you'll do this, you will discover who you are in him. And I must tell you this as well. You will discover one of the most powerful ways to develop strong faith. I just wish I had time. But I want everybody around me to speak like Christ. I want everybody on this broadcast, talk like Christ. Find yourself in him. Jesus is that model. So when we stand before him, look what Christ did over there in Luke 4:17-21. I'm going to go there in a minute. And also in the book of Isaiah. But here's what he did. This was awesome. Jesus modeled himself for us when he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth and he read this scripture. Now, you got to understand, this scripture wasn't for no anybody. The scripture, I wouldn't know anybody supposed to read this scripture. It was designed. They didn't know Jesus from Adam or Adam from, they didn't know. But the Bible says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because it have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captive, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to that set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him, and began to say unto them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. They were blown away. They knew that scripture, when it was to be read or quoted, it would meant that the Savior was here. They understood that. But they were blown away when Jesus read it. They didn't know who this was. They didn't know he was the Messiah. So this was the day that he exposed and told the world who he was. And some of them still missed it. It was the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he closed the book and he gave it to the minister. Why was all those people fastened, eyes was fastened on him? See, he identified who he was. That's what we're going to have to do, brothers and sisters. So when you find himself in Isaiah 61, he declared it. When we give voice to whom we are in Christ, our identification with Christ is activated. The more you identify, the more you confess our faith, what the words say you are. And now I'm not going to go through a whole 130 of them, but I'm going to go through a few of them. I'd like for you, when you get a little time, find those scriptures. They're there for you. In him, in whom, in the beloved. They're there. And then, too, I can give it to you. Tell me, I'll text it to you. I don't know if I text it. I email it to you anyway. Send me your email, and I'll email the ones I got. I probably got about 160 of them things that I've looked up and studied over the years. That's who you are now. You have to start agreeing with the Word of God. Why, you ask? Because the Word of God is true, man. So you identifying with truth. You don't have to identify with what you think or feel. Well, you know, I don't feel that way. Who said you had to feel that way? Well, matter of fact, you tell me, how does a child of God feel anyway? Can you write that out? Can you make that plain? No, the child of God feels the way the word of God say. If it feels or if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. They're going to agree with God that I am who he said I am. I can do what he said I can do. I can have what he say I can have. That got to become the mindset of the body of Christ. Be transformed by your identity in Christ, okay? That's what I'm looking for the next couple of days. Let's identify. Let that become our independence. We start identifying with Christ, okay? Let me see if anybody trying to get back over here, y'all. Y'all, bear with me here for a moment. Okay. All right. Anyone have any comments, anything they want to share? See, Pastor, she was able to join us. Praise God. Read this, Pastor. Anybody have anything they want to share? Okay.
Amen. For Pastor Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, reading it from the New Living Translation, and it says, well, I probably should read it from the King James first, because you quoted that first verse. So from the King James, it reads, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then reading that in the New Living Translation, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Amen, amen. So I was listening to you when you said we had to proclaim who we are. And so reading this this portion of scripture lets us know that, yes, we can be like that tree that it talks about here in Isaiah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Y'all, here's the thing, and thank you so much, Pastor, for bringing it out and reading that. I appreciate it. See, in Luke, he was quoting Isaiah, which is some 2,000-3,000 years before. I have to look that back up. I forgot what it was. But it was like, I know it was 2,000 years, at least 2,000 years. He quoting something from 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all just hear that? Anybody caught that revelation? Huh? 2,000 years ago, from Isaiah 61 to Luke 4, Jesus quoting what was said in Isaiah. And he quoting that 2,000 some years after. At least 2,000. So don't mind holding me to that. I got to go back and look that up again. But over 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that important? Well, what's the significance there? It's been 2,000 years since Christ died. Over 2,000 years. So it's not that far-fetched for us to be saying now who we are and what we are. Mm-hmm. It's time to start agreeing with the Word of God. Find yourself in the Word of God and make that declaration. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I'm in Christ. I know I'm in Christ because the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say everything the Word of God says, I can say. I'm going to say it. Now, we'll get into this tomorrow. But you don't. You know, this is where you want to be. I'm trying to get people eternally ready, man. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. The Word of God declare that. You can stand and say, hey, I've been forgiven. A lot of people will say that. But how many will say, I have the mind of Christ? How many are going to say, I'm more than a conqueror? How many is going to say, I've been crucified with Christ? Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, Christ lives in me. Who going to start identifying with what the Word of God have declared and decreed? God declared that. God declared that the battle is already won. God declared that there's an abundant life that's in Christ. So when will the body of Christ begin to say what the Word of God says? Just like Jesus, he got up and he said everything what the Word said. But it's time that the body of Christ says, man, I'm justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the blood of Christ. Without any other of these buts, just say what the Word of God says. And watch you begin to build who you are. Watch you begin to build yourself up.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I just love Romans 8:1. There therefore, now is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. See, we're in Christ Jesus. We don't walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. We're spiritual beings having human experiences. Eating macaroni and cheese, especially that creamy kind my granddaughter cooked, eating that macaroni and cheese, collard greens. Do I need to go to the ribs? Do I need to go to the black-eyed peas, Sister Renee? Huh? That cornbread. That don't do nothing for your spirit. That's for your body, man.
Yeah.
And they do it for spirit. So we are spiritual beings having human experiences. Yeah, you get a cut here. That your spirit ain't cut. Your body cut. So you put something on it. But they don't do anything for your spirit. See, man is a triune being. He's into three parts. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body.
All right.
The real person is inside there. Mm-hmm. So we're spiritual. Let's identify with the spirit part. We all agree with the physical part. Well, let me back up. Sometimes I'll say stuff like that. But sometimes people, they don't even agree with what physical parts they are.
Have mercy.
Better tell me in the hush, Pastor, because I will go there. Some people are so confused, they don't even know their bodies and tell who they are.
That's why it tells us in 1 Peter, we are peculiar people. Those who are in Christ. Amen. As we get the first Peter in chapter 3, I believe it is. Yeah. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Amen. And from the New Living, it says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness